Business Matters, in association with Donegal ETBs for their education and training service, providing training to suit your business daytime or evening, in class or online, in training centres or on site.
Hi, I'm Kieran O'Donnell. You're welcome to Business Matters. Later in the podcast, I'll be speaking to Philip O'Kennedy, chairperson of Letterkenny Community Centres Management Committee, while Michael Tunney from the Donegal Local Enterprise Office joins us for the backing business segment. But first, a few years ago, Joe Devaney set up Crawley Distillery with two other locally based businessmen, Conor McMenamin and Kieran Davis. The first casks of single malt whisky were produced last year in the distillery based at the old Crawley Dolls factory. Joe told me that himself and his business partners are hoping to play their part in the renaissance of Irish whisky.
Delighted to be joined on Business Matters by Joe Devaney, co-owner of the Crawley Distillery and Crawley Visitor Centre. Joe, you're welcome to Business Matters.
I guess the Fodger Old Hen in Shawfast, then. You're very welcome here.
Joe, yourself and two other well-known Donegal businessmen came together to set up Crawley Distillery. Can you tell us who they are and when Crawley Distillery was established?
Yes, we have Conor McMenamin, consultant engineer, and we have Kieran Davis, and myself. Three of us supping whiskey and having the general chat about how Irish whiskey had gone into serious decline and how it was recovering in the 80s and that. And we just thought about, could we be part of the story, the renaissance of Irish whiskey? And several years later, here we are. We got into production last year. We're producing a small amount. We're a small arts and craft operation. With the good help of Udras na Gaeltachta, they brought the factory back into good repair. The factory was built way back in 1901, and there's a lot of industrial heritage, and we've preserved a lot of that. We've got the original pitch pine beams and the old sprinkler system, and all that's been retained. So we're in production making single malt to the tune of 2,000 litres a week. And that has been stored on site in our bonded warehouse. So our main focus to date was getting into production. And now we have 3 years and a day to figure out who's going to consume our whiskey and where it's going to be. So, but having started last year, we have another 2 years to wait. Legally, it's 3 years and a day. So we can then bring Crawley whiskey to the world. So we're looking to bring a single malt and a single pot still, which are two styles of whiskey.
Before we talk in more detail about the process of the making of the whiskey, Joe, the building run here was the old Crawley factory, and I know you have a lot of information and you're very up to date in terms of the history of the building. Can you tell our listeners about the building?
Yes. It was originally constructed way back in the turn of the last century by the Congested District Board, and the Alexander Morton, the industrialist, came from Scotland, and there were four factories built at the one time, one in Killybegs, one in Kilcar, one in Anagra, and this one where we are today in Crawley, and started out making Donegal carpets. And Donegal carpets were equivalent to the Persian rug way back in the day. They were extremely well sought after and prized. And made here, you would find carpets in the White House, in Buckingham Palace, and places all around the world, and all the big houses. So very successful operation. But with the breakout in 1914 of the First World War, you had the collapse of orders and eventually declined. So the second life that this factory had was as an RIC barracks during the Civil War and War of Independence. After that, then, it was what's a poplin, which is a type of silk, a poplin factory. And eventually, that closed in 1939 due to the Second World War. So we hope there'll be no Third World War to affect the Crawley factory. But it was for many years at the famous Crawley Doll factory for five or six decades. Nuvatun were here for a while, but the factory's been lying empty for over 25 years. So what we want to do is capture that. It's a project of two halves, the making of fine whiskey, but also to capture the socio-economic history of the last century and to have it there and to retell it to the future generations.
Joe, when I met you at the front door, you took me in and you gave me the tour, and we were talking to John inside one of the other rooms there. he showed the virtual tour. Can you take us back and restep the virtual tour as best you can for our listeners?
You have a reception and into a central bar area. It's a really good event space. The virtual tour, it hasn't been developed. You can go onto the website and have a look at what we intend to do. But the actual tour itself hasn't been fully developed. But we do intend to have holograms, and the past people of the place will be represented as we go around the tour and learn about the past lives of the Crawley Whiskey Factory.
In terms of the process, Joe, and the making of the whiskey, can you explain basically what happens here?
Well, in essence, it's quite simple. There are three basic ingredients. You have water coming from our beautiful clean rivers. You have the barley coming from our growers in East Donegal. And we have just simply to add yeast. And those three basic ingredients, going through the process of brewing and then eventually distilling, we come out with a new full spirit, which is a beautiful, clear, malty, sweet liquor. And that, what that does is, it goes into an ex-bourbon cask, and it lies in the bonded warehouse here on site. And after 3 years, the colour of the liquid will have changed to an amber gold. And it's from the wood that the colouring process comes. And that's where you get your amber amber whiskey.
And what is the volume of production at the minute, Joe?
We're relatively small, but we have a process which we think is supreme, because we've gone back to the traditional method, and we have direct fired stills, unique to the country. Most have moved on to more economic processes, but we've gone back in time, and the reason being, we hope to have greater contact with the copper, and the Maillard reflux effect should give the whiskey a great characteristics. So the Maillard effect should give the whiskey a good depth and loads of character.
Talk to me about the tradition of whiskey making in Donegal.
Poaching would have been the product most widely produced, and famously the most recorded cases of breaches of law are in Donegal, and particularly in Inishowen. But eventually, with the taxation changes, legal distilleries started to pop up. So the Inishowen would have had its famous, Tyrconnell would have been a famous, but through the passing of time, it's been 180 years since whisky was last legally produced in Donegal. So we're bringing back a long-lost art or science to the county.
You mentioned the ingredients and that they're sourced locally. I get the sense that that is very important to you.
Yes, we want from grain to glass traceability. And one important feature of the restoration project was paying attention to our greenness and the process here. It's very, very environmentally friendly. For it to be called Irish whiskey, it needs to lie on the island of Ireland for 3 years and one day. Opposed to Scotland, where Scotch is 3 years, we seem to have added 3 years and a day. The longer it stays in the barrel, the better the product becomes. So when we say 3 years and a day, it can still be a fresh product. And we have pre-sold 180 casks. And what we're advising our investors there is to let the barrels, to let the liquid lay in the barrel for a minimum 5 years.
Talk to me about that project of the 180 Club.
Yes. Well, as I mentioned, the last distillery closed in the 1840s, a guy by the name of William Leatham out in Bohullion and Burt. And anybody who's familiar with the road between Letterkenny and Derry will see that big red stack, and that's the last distillery. So the 180 years since then, so we've decided to pre-sell 180 casks. And we've had great success, and there's a lot of support. There are a very limited number of casks left. So anybody who's out there, you know yourself, Kieran.
You're located on the Wild Atlantic Way, Joe, and it's impossible not to see the signs on the way down on the lovely drive here. When we come out of the pandemic, which is going to be sooner rather than later, hopefully, are you anticipating a big rise in footfall? And obviously that will feed into a successful visitor centre when you get up and running properly.
We, post-COVID, would expect to be an attractive place to come to. The the interest in production of whiskey, just to see the process. It's very real here, and you can get up close and get the smells and the tastes. You'll get to hear the story of the area, the music, all of the all of what the area has to offer culturally. Culturally very rich. Just over the road, we have the famous Clannad and Enya home, and we have lots of talented musicians locally. We have had the Friel sisters come in, and they're going to do a session for us along with many other local artists. So,
yeah, I know the Irish language is something that you're very passionate about, Joe, and will that be reflected in the visitor centre and in the distillery, I'm sure?
Kinche, Tant Gaelige, and Tavada. And you can see that all of the signage is up as Gaelic. We are in the Gaeltacht, and we would like to respect the language and positively contribute to its use.
Yeah. Just in relation to the Gaeltacht, Joe, I know because of the pandemic, students have been unable to come last year, and that's likely going to be the same this year. How hopeful are you for areas like the Gaeltacht to run at the minute going forward, in relation to what you're able to put in here as well, and the impact and the positive knock-on effect that something like your business and project will have?
Well, the Mishe Mun College of Gaelic, I was in charge of an Irish college, College na Rossan, for 30 years, and normally you would have a couple of hundred students over Nanagar this time of the year. Unfortunately, not this year and not last year, and I really don't know about what the future holds, but certainly will be change times for the students coming to the Gaeltacht. With regards to what this place can contribute, we will certainly give it primary attention to the use of the language, and anybody who has the Gaelic is more than welcome to use it.
How impacting has the pandemic been on your business here?
Luckily, distilleries were deemed as essential, so we've been allowed to continue into production, and it wasn't planned to have the visitor centre open up until now, because we really have to bridge the 3-year gap. So we would be hopeful that over the next short period of time we would get working on developing out the visitor centre, and in the midsummer of next year we would have a venue to come and see.
You're in business a long time, Joe. You mentioned your Irish, you mentioned your teaching, you've moved on to a new project. Something you're very passionate about, and I get that feeling from you.
Yes, I think if we're going to do something, do it right. And the efforts that Kieran Davis and Conor McMahon and myself are putting in here are huge. And we certainly want it to be a success. And we want it to be a success in that there is going to be a supreme quality whiskey, that there's going to be an extremely interesting story to tell when visitors arrive, and that we want to be looking back in years to come and saying we did the Crawley Distillery, and you can be proud of what work we have put into it.
Can you recall the actual day or the exact moment when yourself and Kieran and Connor said, let's do this?
It was late at night.
That's an honest answer.
Late at night, but it had been many conversations before we had decided to push the green light.
Had you always a love of whisky? Was that something you always had an interest in?
Well, I never made poaching, and nor is my healthy father. He never made poaching, but 6 generations back, there were my great-great-grandfather, and they were all good poaching makers. I actually love a sup of whisky, and it's something that the three of us have a good common interest in. So it's just through general chat and eventually looking around, identifying Crawley to be the location, and talking to Udras, who were very quick to come on board. And it's just taking it on its own life at the moment. But as Kieran Davis's, let's have fun on the way. And it has been a very, very enjoyable journey so far, and hopefully down the road will be equally as enjoyable.
What advice would Joe Devaney give his 21-year-old self?
To enjoy the journey and not have it all at the end, but it's to enjoy the journey and to engage honestly with everybody that you meet, and treat with respect, and hard work will get you there.
And finally, Joe, what does the future hold for yourself and the Crawley Distillery?
I would hope that we would have a very good, recognised, award-winning, quality single malt and single pot still whiskey. That if we see the same standards and recognition for the work that we put in here as the Donegal Carpets did, perhaps, and if we get the same distribution as the Crawley Dolls did globally, we'd be very, very happy.
Joe Devaney, co-owner of the Crawley Distillery, thanks for taking the time to talk to us on Business Matters.
Got a Cade Meal Maggot here.
Good Maggot. Next up is our Backing Business segment, and joining us this week is Head of Enterprise and Economic Development at the Donegal Local Enterprise Office, Michael Tunney. Michael, thanks for joining us on Business Matters.
Thank you very much for the invitation again, Kier.
Michael, the Tech Accelerator Startup Programme is very much the focus at the minute. What sort of demand are you anticipating, Michael, for the programme?
Well, our objective, Kieran, is to get somewhere between 10 to 15 applications on this. I suppose it's a slightly different approach. As you know, we would run our about 78 statutory business programmes every year, but we've identified, or last year we identified an opportunity maybe to run a pre-accelerator for female entrepreneurs, and we got quite a number of them were tech-based. And then we have been in discussions for the last probably 12 months with a number of our larger companies, particularly the foreign direct companies in the county, who suggested maybe that there might be opportunities for some spin-outs. So the tech accelerator is aimed at business people with ideas, both in Donegal, in the Republic of Ireland, and overseas, because, again, we're going to make it open to our diaspora, who want to look at setting up, a technology-based or ICT-based startup in Donegal. So we're hoping to get maybe 10, 15 good participants on that. And from that, already we've got five projects from the pre-accelerator for females who have actually received grant aid and are proceeding now to set up and the early stages of startup. So Tech Accelerator, we'd love to get the same kind of figures, because, again, it's just trying to raise the cohort of technology-based businesses in the county.
And how will that be rolled out, Michael?
So we will be starting next week, I think it is. We will start with awareness raising and a call for people, and we will be we'll be making contact with all the stakeholders and the larger companies in the technology and the smaller companies in the county to see other people that they're employing. We put it out through all the various social media platforms. We put it out through our diaspora. So it's about creating awareness, and we'll obviously then be an application process. And we'd be hopeful for a reasonably good demand. As I said, our only previous experience was our pre-accelerator last year. We within about a four-week period, we had, I think, about 41 applications, and we took 11 on the program. So again, we'll be hope for something like that, maybe even higher, because some of those maybe who did that program, maybe two or three of the females that are on that might want to go into an accelerator. So, you know, it's particular to Donegal, so, but Their only qualification that we will look for to come on it is that they will set up their business subsequent to that in Donegal, because it's all about getting, as I say, just growing that cohort in the county, Cairn, because that's an important thing. Where we just need to grow that cohort of technology and, I suppose, ambitious startups. You know?
Yeah. Is this a sign of things to come, Michael, and how differently maybe courses may be rolled out and what the courses contain and what they're aimed at?
Yeah, I suppose there is a couple of things that's prompting us this week here. We've had a very recently just put in our own enterprise plan that we were required to by the department. You know, and there was a couple of prompts in there for us that were sort of saying, well, so how are you going to get more, I suppose, startups that can apply for grant aid from the likes of Enterprise Ireland, from the Enterprise Office, from Uthers and the Gaeltachta. Because we do a lot of Start Your Own Business programs, but they don't qualify. They don't come in under those added value manufacturing or service of potential to export. So that's prompting it. Some of the work we're doing now, we're doing a sort of strategic enterprise plan for the county at the moment. We've OCO Global working on that. It's identifying a real need for more of that, I suppose, ambitious startups, and then raising the ambition of existing companies to be export-oriented, to be outward-looking as opposed to inward-looking. And then how does the public sector, whether that be the enterprise agencies, the third level colleges, universities in the region, support those kind of businesses? So it's kind of all of that kind of a theme, all right, Kieran, that we'll be focusing on, I think, in the years to come.
Michael, the trading online vouchers, the Start Your Own Business programme, and the monthly information sessions are another integral part of the local enterprise office here in Donegal. How has interest been in those, Michael, over the last while?
Very, very well. On the Start Your Own Business, actually very strong. We'll be starting our third Start Your Own Business programme in May. And again, if anybody's interested, you go to our website, localenterprise.ie/Donegal. I think we've already 19, if not 20, expressions of interest for people to do that. So it's been quite, we've two programmes finished already this year. On the trading online vouchers, there's We have our monthly information session again. You can book it on our website. So we're getting 50 to 60 attending that every month. Now, the translation of people attending to actual applications is significantly reduced from last year, where when it was 90%, but now it's 50%, we're only getting about a 10% conversion. But we have budgeted for about 120 to 130 approvals this year, so we're kind of on target for that, but it's significantly down to last year. And on the business information session, again, a strong interest. I mean, we're just looked at it today, myself and Brenda here in the office, Brenda Hegarty. So we've approved 19 projects this year to date for grant aid, and we've currently another 19 applications in process. So it's an online system, so they can go in and out, and you know. So, you know, there's a strong interest, thankfully, of either existing business looking to expand or new startups in the county. So on that basis, yeah, things are quite strong here at the moment, so yes. It's positive.
Finally, Michael, how does that compare to maybe this time last year, or is there a periodic comparative time?
Yeah, it's stronger than that. On the number of applications we've approved and the ones in process, it's up on last year. So on an annual basis, we have approved for grant aid somewhere between 22 to 30 projects for what we would call it Measure 1 grant aid. So that's the direct financial aid assistance in. So it's up. It's up, and we're talking about a potentially 38 applications, and we're not in June yet, not even halfway through the year. So that might be a challenge for us later on in the year when the budget comes into play, but it's looking positive, you know.
Michael Tunney, Head of Enterprise and Economic Development at the Donegal Local Enterprise Office. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us on Business Matters.
Thank you very much, Kieran.
And still to come, we'll be hearing from Letterkenny Community Centre's Management Committee Chairperson, Philip O'Kennedy.
Would your engineering company like to increase its capabilities and turnaround time for clients? Donegal ETB, in partnership with Leo Donegal, can provide you with CAD and SolidWorks training to help you do so. Contact Enterprise Engagement at donegaletb.ie or call 07491 20500.
You're welcome back. In 2020, Letterkenny Community Centre was granted planning permission for a major extension which is expected to cost in the region of €1 million. I spoke to the centre's Management Committee Chairperson, Philip O'Kennedy, about the ambitious plans for the well-known facility. Philip began by recalling the early days of Letterkenny Community Centre, which opened on Pierce Road back in 1983.
Yeah, well, we set up, as you say, in 1974, officially opened in 1983, and it's been part and parcel of the community here for all those years, and I suppose over the years the community centre has grown and developed and evolved based on needs and wants of the community. It was, you know, purely a community centre from the outset, but as I'm sure you know, it has developed into a, you know, fairly substantial outdoor facilities for sports and recreation, as well as, you know, the indoor facilities. So it's grown and developed, but it's time now that we probably brought it to the next stage.
Chatting about the next stage, an impressive new facility. We're sitting in one of the prefabs at the side of the community centre here today. That was a significant development in recent years, and I suppose you're going to build on what has happened in the last couple of years.
Yeah, well, we've, you know, the building is, as I said, has been around for quite a number of years now and does need to be upgraded and redeveloped. So we submitted for planning permission for a substantial new extension to the centre a couple of years ago, and we got final planning permission last year for a fairly sizable redevelopment of the centre involving a two-storey building to the side where the prefabs are at the moment. And, you know, it's going to be fairly substantial, including, you know, facilities for retail, coffee shop, as well as some additional multi-purpose hall, changing facilities, meeting and training rooms, treatment rooms, gymnasium, etc. So it's quite a substantial redevelopment.
The big question, Philip, it doesn't happen by accident. How much are we talking about in terms of a budget for what you've outlined?
Well, I mean, we haven't. We're sort of very much still in the planning phase. Well, we've got planning permission, as the architect says, it's all down on a piece of paper at the moment, and things can change on paper. It's only when you get into the redevelopment that it gets a bit trickier. But so for the moment, I suppose we've kind of put a figure of around €1 million on the redevelopment, but we haven't really done any detailed costings as yet. And in fact, you know, the designs and plans were done at a time prior to COVID, So, you know, at the moment, in fact, we're just looking at the design to see, well, is it fit for purpose? Is it something that will meet the demands of the community? So, you know, it's a work in progress really at the minute, yeah.
You mentioned the pandemic. It'll be remiss not to ask how much that has impacted on the centre and on the plans for the future.
Well, certainly from the point of view of our operations here, we've had to pretty much shut down everything. You know, we've done some online stuff, but very limited. Now, thankfully, we've managed, you know, with the support of the government and various grants that we've been able to get, we've been able to keep ourselves afloat. But hopefully now, I was just talking to Liam O'Donnell, our manager there, a few minutes ago, and he was saying that we're expecting to get things open from the 26th, and it'll be, the outdoor facilities will be open for children from the 26th. So, you know, we're beginning. If we can get back to where we were at, then I think we'll be okay. We'll be fine. But it has been a difficult period for us, and obviously, you know, we want to get open up again for the community.
Liam has very much been the face and the voice of the community centre in Letterkenny for a long, long time.
He has, and a fantastic character. It's great to have Liam's experience. Liam is great, and no matter what you throw at him, he'd say, "Well, we've tried that before, or we looked at this before," and so he's a huge experience and fantastic guy, and you know, we're very lucky to have him.
How important is it to have a figure like that, Liam, when you're making a transition from maybe the old into the new?
Well, I think it's consistency, and I think, you know, you know, it's having that consistent, you know, head and old knowledge that's there. You know, as I say, he's seen an awful lot in the past, and, you know, he can advise us and say, well, this might work here, or, you know, a good plan there. So, you know, it's certainly something that's important for us to have, and, you know, he's a great asset for us.
I know you have had help from the DLDC in relation to the focus group sessions and in relation to what the centre might aspire to be over the coming years. How have those discussions, or how has that area gone for you?
Yeah, well, we've linked in with the Donegal Local Development Company from the start, and in fact, they have been very helpful to us in devising a survey that we ran there recently, asking the community about what's happening here and what they want for the future for the community centre. And John Logan in DLDC has been very helpful to us with that. John has also helped us with running a couple of focus groups that we've had with a number of groups within the community. We've spoken to the over 50s. This week, we had a session with a number of students from the IT, sort of representing the youth from the community. And, you know, so taking on board the feedback we were getting from the survey, and then within the actual focus group sessions, we were able to dig a bit deeper into what it is exactly that people want from the centre going forward over the next 5-10 years.
Any particular findings that surprised you, Philip?
I think what was very heartening from our perspective was that the feedback we got was that the centre is very much part and parcel of the community here in Letterkenny, and is highly valued by the community here in Letterkenny, and that's very heartening after, you know, 40 plus years that we've been here. So that it's great that people still want facility to be part and parcel of the community here. So that's very reassuring. I think some of the things that came through really was around, and it was interesting that both the youth and the over 50s pretty much had similar views that, you know, an opportunity to have a place to be able to come and relax and enjoy and just to be able to sit and have maybe a coffee or whatever. And as I mentioned earlier, we have plans for a coffee shop within the centre. And so, you know, we're looking, that's why we're taking a relook at the design to see, well, do we need maybe to redesign the centre in such a way that the coffee shop maybe could be more and more centre of what we're doing in the new development.
You mentioned the design. I know the committee have set up a competition to see, inviting young budding artists to picture what the centre will look like 100 years from now in 2121. That's done in tandem with the survey. How has all that gone?
Yeah, it's been fantastic because we asked, and again, in fairness, it was John Logan, Donegal Local Development Company, who came up with this idea that we asked people to, you know, young people, children, to draw what they saw, how they saw the centre in 100 years' time. And we got some great pictures in for it. And indeed, if children still want to submit them, I'd encourage them to do so, because it's you know, it's been a great opportunity for us to see it. I know, in fact, the Letterkenny 2040 group are also doing something similar in asking children to redesign or imagine what it's going to be like in the future. And we got some great pictures in, and we're hoping to announce winners in the next couple of weeks.
I do notice that you've been pushing the message from Letterkenny Community Centre and the plans for the future on social media platforms. How have you found that reach, and how have you found the feedback and the reaction to those?
I know the feedback has been very good, but I think one of the things that certainly came from our focus groups was that, you know, social media will reach a certain cohort of people, and not everybody's on social media. So, you know, it's great to get the opportunity like today to meet with you, Kieran, and talk about what we're doing. So that's one of a number of legs that we have in terms of trying to get the message out that we're looking at redeveloping things here so that people become aware of it. And obviously then we're going to be launching a fundraising campaign, and we've already started that to some extent, but it's going to be ramping up over the next number of months and years indeed.
Yeah, the draw, I'm sure, is what you're alluding to there. Can you talk to me a bit about the draw?
Yeah, well, we started a 50-50 draw there. It was launched earlier in the year, and so, you know, it's a monthly draw. You get 50% of the prizes come back to the people who buy the tickets. And you know, it's been steady, and we're hoping to ramp it up, and so I'd encourage people to take a look at it. You find it on our Facebook pages and on the Letterkenny Community Centre website. So certainly encourage people to take tickets and buy every month on those. Yeah.
Support from Donegal County Council, I'm sure, is going to be extremely important, Philip, going forward with the community centre and the plans it has. How has support been from the local authority?
Oh, fantastic. We had a presentation to the councillors there this week, in fact, and very supportive of what we're trying to achieve. As I'm sure you know, they have big plans for Letterkenny as well, and they would see what we're doing very much in tandem with what they're trying to achieve. I think, you know, we're a sports facility within the town, and so we can very much link in with what they're trying to achieve in terms of creating employment within the town and having a social service available to people if they want to use it. So it's great to be in touch and close to them, and they want to keep it close to us. And, you know, I look forward to further developing that relationship.
Philip, we touched earlier on the impressive full-size AstroTurf pitch outside the community centre within the grounds. How much did that cost? And I'm sure that's a massive boost to the community centre now.
Yeah, it's a fantastic facility to have. And in fact, it's one of the few areas facilities that was been used during COVID. I know Finn Harps have been using it on a reasonably regular basis. It cost about $500,000 for us to develop. And we were able to fund that pretty much through our own fundraising with a small loan that we got from Letterkenny Credit Union, which we were grateful for and appreciate getting. And certainly it's been a great addition to the centre here. And as I say, we're hoping to open up the facility in the, you know, next week or the week after that, so we can get young people and people from the town using it again.
You mentioned opening up. Since the trees were taken down at the top of the road, maybe at the end of last year, it seemed to have opened up the whole place for everybody to see it. It was sort of hidden in behind those trees for many years, Phil.
It was, yes. And yeah, again, it was the council needed to remove those trees because they were causing problems on the footpath. But yeah, it certainly opened up the facility here. Like, we have a fantastic open space, you know, with great car parking and facilities for people. So I think, you know, and we're located right in the centre of town. There are not that many community centres would have the facilities that we have here and the, you know, the closeness to the town. So we're hoping to obviously develop that and use it for the benefit of the community going forward.
When do you expect the extension to be fully finished and up and running, Philip?
Well, we're hoping to start the fundraising now, so we would get it developing probably next year. With the expectation that by 2024 we'd be up and fully running at that stage. So that's the plan.
Philip O'Kennedy, Chairperson of Letterkenny Community Centre Management Committee, thanks for taking the time to talk to us on Business Matters.
Thank you, Kieran.
Well, that's it for this edition of Business Matters. Thanks to my guests, Joe Devaney, Michael Tunney and Philip O'Kennedy. Thanks to Kenneth Wilson on sound. And thanks to you for listening. If you'd like to get in touch with the programme, drop an email to businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
Business Matters, in association with Donegal ETBs for their education and training service, providing training to suit your business daytime or evening, in class or online, in training centres or on site.